It's been more than a year since the United States launched a coordinated fight against the self-proclaimed Islamic State, and ISIS still controls a great deal of Syria and most of southern Iraq. Now, whatever our next steps, the entire situation is haunted by the long shadow of President Bush's decision to invade Iraq more than 12 years ago. Over the weekend, that point was conceded by former Prime Minister Tony Blair, one of the few world leaders to support the Iraq invasion back in 2003.
You can't say that those of us who removed Saddam in 2003 bear no responsibility for the situation in 2015.
That's Tony Blair speaking with CNN host Fareed Zakaria. Zakaria is the host of a new CNN documentary called Long Road to Hell, America in Iraq. And like Prime Minister Blair, Zakaria offers his own mea culpa right at the end of the film.
I argued that the United States needed to send in many more troops than it did. I urged a UN mandate to provide greater legitimacy and avoid the image of an American occupation. I strongly criticized the decisions to disband the army and dismantle the bureaucracy through debathification. But that does not change the fact that I did support the decision to topple Saddam Hussein's regime.
That mea culpa comes from CNN host Fareed Zakaria, and he joins me now. Fareed, welcome.
Thank you.
Fareed, I had a little bit of trouble with your mea culpa, as much as I appreciate it. You say I wanted more troops. I wanted UN mandate. I basically called for all of the things that they didn't do, all of the things that went wrong. Is there something wrong with the fundamental idea, that we could have toppled a tyrant and a vicious dictator like Saddam Hussein and had it work out? Is that idea wrong?
I think it's a very good question. In the Balkans, the United States was able to intervene, and Bosnia is a functioning state. In Japan and Germany after World War II, we were able to do it. In South Korea, we were able to do it. You know, I don't have a geographic or cultural determinism about it. I don't think that Arabs are genetically incapable of being of self-rule. Looking back at it, I think, you know, my mistake was not to recognize how much work it would take to do this and to have honestly to have trusted that the Bush administration would do it right. But you do ask the legitimate question, which is, was the whole society so fragile that once you took the top off, would the whole thing have crumbled? Well, it didn't in Bosnia, it didn't in South Korea, it didn't in Germany, it didn't in Japan. But perhaps the modern Middle East is so artificial, created by the British and French after World War I, that really you mess with these nations at your peril because they're not really nations at all.
Well, let's talk about the present and the future then, Fareed, because the tragedy of what that suggests, what you're suggesting right now, which is the possibility that lifting off the top of the British and French constructed Iraq would automatically lead to what we're seeing today, suggests that there's a determinism to this, that ISIS and the sectarian war going on across Iraq and Syria sort of has to happen, that Sunnis and Shia, that Assad and the Kurds, for that matter, have to sort it out. And that's an argument against American intervention, just kind of letting them fight it out and seeing where the dust settles.
I have been very cautious about any greater American role. I, in fact, feel like President Obama is inching forward too much. He's been very restrained. And here's why. It's not just the lesson of Iraq. If you look at, we intervened in Iraq, we had 170,000 troops at the peak, and we were not able to prevent a civil war, chaos, and a humanitarian catastrophe. We intervened in Libya, we toppled the regime, but we didn't put troops down to avoid the taint of an occupation. It has produced chaos and a humanitarian catastrophe. In Yemen, we merely acceded to a regime change, and what you have is civil war and chaos. And in Syria, we haven't intervened at all, and what you have is civil war and chaos. So it makes me feel that these places are very fragile and that outside forces have only so much ability to really go in. If we sent in 500,000 troops and occupied the place like Germany for, you know, close to a decade, would it be different? Who knows? But short of something like that, it seems as though we should be very careful. And you are exactly right. What I think is going to happen is there is going to be a great sectarian sorting out in the Middle East, that these populations were intermingled, and they are much less so now than they were 10 years ago. But what you're seeing is a process of forced and voluntary ethnic cleansing. where the Alawites are moving into areas, the Shiites are moving into areas, the Kurds are moving. And when that happens, there will probably be some kind of war weariness and stability that will set in. I think we should be engaged diplomatically, we should be engaged politically, and we should do as much as we can from a humanitarian point of view. But I do not believe that the United States can intervene militarily in a way that would be effective.
Well, Fareed Zakaria, let's look to 2017. There's a Republican field now that says pour troops in. Lindsey Graham and the other candidates are certainly in that camp. Donald Trump says fight them, fight them, fight them. I'm not even sure he knows what that means. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, who is the presumptive Democratic nominee, is hawkish herself and has a long track record of favoring intervention. Where do you see this realistically going?
The Republican side has been very interesting. The most interventionist candidate, Lindsey Graham, has gone nowhere. You have a few of them talking about it really as a way to criticize President Obama, but without much of an alternative. And Trump is, in a very Trumpian fashion, all over the place. One day he says, look, I think Assad is better than ISIS. Why aren't we supporting Assad? Another day he says, look, they're all fighting over there. Let them fight it out. And then on a third day he says, oh, I would defeat ISIS. So you have no idea what exactly he means. And I think Trump knows in a way that most people have mixed views on this. Trump is, I've always thought, a great businessman in that he just gives people what they want. And he knows that on Syria they have these shifting or conflicting views, and so he just airs all of them. Hillary is the most interesting one. You are exactly right. She is more interventionist, or her inclinations are more interventionist than Obama's. She apparently was in favor 2 years ago of helping the Free Syrian Army. I don't know what she would make of the fact that it turned out that there was no Free Syrian Army, and the few they could find disappeared or evaporated. But I think were she to be president, you're probably likely to see more incremental interventions, more of the no-fly zones, the training of troops. And as I say, my own prediction is they will fail. So then the question becomes, are you able to hold the line? Are you able to say, look, we tried, we did the best we could, but we're not going to go any further?
Fareed Zakaria and his new documentary on CNN, Long Road to Hell, America in Iraq. Fareed, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.